sing at the same time. I always start trying to sing with you and I'm like, no, black.
I know, we need to learn to harmonize.
Oh, what? I have an Ariana hoodie coming.
Oh, wow.
I'm so fucking excited for it.
Next level.
Fanboy.
Fanboy, yeah, pretty much. Well, that's exciting. We're all looking forward to seeing you in that.
Yeah, I will send a picture. We'll put it on the Instagram.
I want you to wear it when we go on our little ghost hunt on Halloween.
Oh, hell yeah. I will be.
So that Ariana's with us in spirit.
Actually, something happened this morning that I think you'll love. So I think I said before that Mary and I have gone like full decorating crazy with the house and outside. So we've got a tombstone that says trick or tea. Trick or treat. I was going to say,
I got so excited there. I was like, you what?
Oh, I might do that. Engrave it myself. We've got years ago I bought this like fake doorbell that when you press the button this little like green eye comes out and it looks side to side.
Yep.
Well, Mary decided to put it outside at the front door, and I've had a few comments from people that have actually pressed it thinking it's the doorbell.
No way, really?
Yeah, so it was like last week we got a takeaway and I heard the door knock because our actual doorbell doesn't work. So they probably pressed both of them.
So, that's so funny.
So I opened the door and this poor old guy was like, I was like, you okay? And he was like, I got a real fright from your doorbell. And I was like,
that is so funny. Imagine.
And then this morning, we had like a DPD. All other services are welcome here as well, but DPD was the one that brought us it today. And it was two guys at the door, and they knocked on the door, and I opened it, and the guy was like, that fucking doorbell, man, fucking amazing!
Big fans. Scone done a treat then.
Yeah, so we're getting different reactions, but we're getting reactions nonetheless.
That's so good. I love that.
Spooky season, bitches.
It's here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying really hard to enjoy it. I don't know what else is here. I'm here. You're here. Welcome to part two, baby. So,
part two.
Again, just a quick recap. This is the second part of part three of our October specials.
Yep.
No, that doesn't make sense. This is the second part of episode three, which is the third case that we are investigating as part of our Halloween specials by the Warrens.
The little Warrens.
The little Warrens. We love them. We love them.
We do. As I've said before, I absolutely love this story because it's the creepiest one we've discussed so far, in my opinion.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. When I was researching this, I was like, man, this hit is hot.
Yeah, it's intense, to say the
least. I had a real chill going down my spine.
Oh, did you?
A real chill, man. Goosebumps and all. Woof, 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 woof. That's the best part of the Goosebumps theme tune. It's the dog bit. Roof, 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 roof.
Oh, I actually want to watch the old Goosebumps now. And the films. I actually really enjoyed the films.
Yeah.
Okay.
The series is good. No, the films were good as well, but I'm like...
Yeah, the concept is going to run down very quickly with the films, whereas the books, you could just keep on going. I read them so much when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. They were like pretty much the only books I actually took out of the library in primary school.
Yeah, I actually got told off when we had to do a book review, and I did mine on, it was like one of the stories about, it was like lizard people. So when you like ate these special cookies, you turned into like almost velociraptors.
Amazing.
And I loved that book, and I did a whole thing. I even drew a picture, like an A3 picture of like these velociraptor like kids. And my teacher told me that I was not allowed to do book reviews on absolute garbage like Goosebumps.
Wow.
How dare you?
First of all, don't call Goosebumps garbage.
Yeah.
Second of all, back the fuck off.
Exactly.
You're like, what, 12, 11?
Yeah, I think I was literally like 9.
Yeah. Like, you can't do a book report on garbage. Yeah. So what did she mean by that? Like something that's not real, that's fictional, but everyone else is doing like fucking Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No, I think it was more kids were doing like probably Harry Potter came out at the time.
Oh dear.
And then
losers.
Yeah, losers. And then, you know, I just wanted to do a book that I liked those stories, but yeah, I mean, they are trash. They're pure trash.
Yeah, but they're good trash.
Yeah, everyone else is doing like fucking, was it Tracy Beaker? All that shite. God.
I love Tracy Beaker. Bog off a line.
I was pretty much the only one that had no doubles of the book because I was original. Okay?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck the haters.
100%. Can you please get on with it? Yeah, I'm waiting to hear the conclusion to this harrowing tale. I mean, I know it, but like, tell them, they don't know.
This is true, right. Okay, we're diving in. So, after, let's recap, let's see, what was the last thing we talked about? Oh yeah, Sharon getting chucked down the stairs, yeah. Good riddance.
Yeah, I'm joking. Yeah, boo-hoo. I'm kidding, that's terrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, so this is when the Warrens first got involved. There was, again, like most of these stories, there started to be a bit more kind of news coverage. People started realizing that it was a big thing that was happening. So they were contacted about the house and eventually met up with Jack and Janet to conduct full interviews to work out what was going on. The day that they got there, Lorraine and her psychic friend Diane took a tour of the house, and they concluded that there were 4 entities in the house, and the 4th being a demon that was intent on making the Smurl family's lives hell. So that's the succubus.
Yeah.
I have a quote from Lorraine. I will not put on an accent because you don't want to hear that this time.
We got plenty accents in the last episode.
Just give me another London accent and I'll chuck it in, but not American. We have too many American listeners.
We do. And we really do. We don't want to offend you guys.
Yeah,
we want to keep you.
I mean, we've already said fuck Trump on this podcast a couple times, so.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, please register to vote if you're in America.
Oh, yeah, good fucking point.
Remove that Cheeto.
We don't need him.
He's out of date.
So, a quote from Lorraine about the spirits. Here we go. So, there are 4 spirits in your home. One of them is an elderly woman, probably senile, but not violent. She's just confused. There's another woman, much younger, and she's an insane, violent spirit who might want to harm you, but I think she can be dealt with through prayer. The third spirit in the house is a man, and at this point all we know about him is that he has a moustache and possesses the ability to carry out great harm. Then there is the 4th spirit. This demon is here to create chaos and destroy the family. And they were like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't want no demons.
No. So they then tried to contact the spirits with Jack and Janet along for the ride. As they started their seance, they played Ave Maria. Thank you.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So apparently it was to try and coax the demon, because it is a religious song, I'm guessing. I think it's just a banger, mate. But yeah, and it worked. The demon was not happy about hearing Ave Maria. So they heard a tearing sound, and one of the cupboard mirrors started moving, with the screws attaching it move back and forth. So they're just like... The unplugged TV then switched on, which is fucking creepy. As well as the cupboards now fully trembling. After Ed throwing his good old handy holy water and screaming for the spirits to go, everything seemed to stop, but everyone knew this was not the end.
No. Far from it.
Far from it. So this was one of the things that became a kind of running theme is prayer and screaming like, demons be gone, helped in that moment, but it didn't get rid of them. They kind of went like, oh fuck, and then they came back. They were like, ugh. So.
Yeah, they got a lot of fright, got a little spook themselves, didn't they?
Like, woo! Then they were back the next night to fuck shit up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so the attacks got worse. One night as Janet and Jack were in bed, Janet was slapped numerous times by the demon. The TV set came on again, and more banging on the walls. They actually called a priest, just like a local priest, who was an absolute dick. Like, honestly, he wouldn't come into the house. So,
I mean, fair.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know,
like,
yeah, he literally blessed the house from outside and then just fucked off.
He was like outside with a water gun, like spraying it with holy water from a distance. How kids were being baptized during the lockdown. Did you see that? It was absolutely wild.
No,
fucking, is that like, actually? Oh really? Yeah, yeah. Kids were being baptized via like water gun because like obviously with social distancing and stuff. I'm not even kidding. There's pictures of priests holding like super soakers and like spraying these little kids from afar. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, that's amazing.
Hey, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not how it should go. Like, isn't the whole baptism meant to be quite a ritual and they're bathed in the water and stuff? But he's just a like, quick squirt with his water gun. It's like, yeah, you're done. You're good. You know, whatever.
It's like, pew, pew, pew. Done.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Right. So, one of the investigators, I kind of, what you'll find is that I'm kind of going over some stuff really quickly because there's just so much. We could literally do about 5 episodes worth of shit that happened in this house.
Oh yeah, it's a big story.
Yeah, so there was an investigator that came around to help them. And both him and Jack had peculiar bite marks on them. And the energy from their bodies seemed to just immediately drain. Ed said that it was the demon was just taking all of their energy away from them, and that's what the bites were. It was just sucking the energy so it could become like angrier,
yeah, more powerful.
And yeah, apparently because Ed looked over at one of the investigators and he was literally just like white, his eyes just like closing over, just like, and he's like, please sit down. Like, you're getting drained.
God.
He said it was like a battery, just like seeing it go from full to empty in like seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, this was before one of the more horrific things that happened. Now, this is our trigger warning. Here we come. Oh, yeah. So, Jack was raped by the succubus. And I've actually got my book here to read the interview that he gave about what happened, exactly what happened. It's pretty creepy.
Okay.
So, I feel like I'm telling a little story for everyone with my book. Like,
he's got his little book. I mean, it's an awful story, but yeah, we're all listening.
Imagine I'm like at primary school, like, gather round, children. This chapter is called Raped by a Succubus.
Oh my God. No. Okay, go on.
So, I feel like because it's a question and answer, should I put an accent? No, I won't do it.
No.
Especially with this content. Right, so, yeah. Jack, would you describe what happened on the night of June 21st? The surprising thing was that the house had been pretty peaceful for 2 or 3 days. We watched a movie on TV, got the girls to bed, had some lemonade, and then went upstairs to go to bed. How did you first know something was wrong? The way I came awake, I guess. There was something different about it? Yes, it was like I'd been, thrown off a cliff or something. You know, as if some violent action woke me up. Can you describe what you saw? At first, I didn't see anything at all. I just felt this tremendous sort of panic. I wasn't sure if I was having a nightmare or not. What convinced you that you weren't having a nightmare? Her scales. Ugh.
Oh my God.
Her scales. You mean by those serpentine snake-like scales? Yes. You said she... these scales were on a woman? Yes. Would you describe her? To be honest, I even hate to think about her. Her skin was paper white, but it was covered in some places with the scaly surface I mentioned, and then in other places with open sores, the kind you'd think a leper would have or something, and these sores were running with pus.
Ugh. Oh my god.
Yeah. How old was she? I would estimate around 65 or 70, I can't be sure. What else did you first notice about her? She had long, white, scraggly hair, and her eyes were all red, and the inside of her mouth and her gums were green. Some of her teeth were missing, but those she had were very long and vampire-like. What about her body? That was a weird thing. Her body itself was firm, you know, like that of a younger woman. What did she do? Okay, this gets intense. She paralyzed me in some way. I saw her walking out of the shadows to our bed, and I sensed what she was going to do, but I couldn't stop her. Then what? Then she mounted me in the dominant position, and she started riding me. That's the only way I can describe it. Was it pleasurable? No. In fact, I don't remember feeling anything at all, other than panic and complete terror. What was Janet doing during all this? Only after I'd been awake for a time did I realize that Janet had earlier gone downstairs to sleep on the couch, which she occasionally does in the hot months. What about the succubus? What was it doing? Coming to a sexual climax. She just looked at me and smiled, showing those incredible teeth. I tried to look away, but something held my eyes to her. I could tell when she was having orgasms because she would give little jerks and her smile would broaden. Ugh. She was having orgasms? Oh yes, you could tell that by her expressions and her movements. Then what happened? Then she vanished. Just like that, just vanished. And that's when I noticed the sticky substance all over me. Ugh. Sticky substance? Yes, I suppose you'd have to compare it to semen. The texture of it, in a way. It was emitted from the creature's vagina, and I was sore too. You know what? That's enough.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's horrible.
Yeah, so that boy was violated.
Yeah, definitely. It's awful.
Just the imagery is so creepy.
Oh yeah, I was like imagining that in my head as you were telling it, and it's so freaky. So you said that she was described as being like a woman in her 60s or whatever, maybe 70s.
Yeah.
But like she had like a firm body, almost like she was younger.
Yeah.
But she was pale, like paper white and covered in scales and sores. Oh my god, that's horrible.
Yeah, like that does sound like, you know, the most gruesome thing you could think of for a demon. That would be what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And even the sharp teeth, red eyes, green gums. Oh, ugh. And, you know, having semen all over him. Not great.
What was that too? Pretty nasty.
Yeah, apparently, good. Like, he went in the shower for half an hour and just kept on washing. Just like,
oh. Oh, that's so horrible, that poor guy.
Yeah. So.
Not nice.
Right.
Well, moving on.
Let's move on from that extremely horrifying moment.
Horrible, yeah.
So, during all of these hauntings and shit that was happening, Ed and Lorraine at the time were trying to get the Vatican to help exorcise the home. But over and over again, they just didn't want to play ball. They just would not help.
Oh, man. Come on, yeah. Guys.
Come on, Vatican.
Come on, guys. We're a team. are you a Vatican or a Vatican?
Oh, my God. No.
come on.
Yeah, well, this was even in the films they talked about, like, the there's so many hoops that they had to jump through to get the Vatican to help with some of these cases. And even the Vatican had a real problem of, if they didn't think they could help, they didn't want the bad publicity. So if the Vatican comes, they're like the major players, and if they can't exercise a house, they look like God doesn't want to help them. So in, you know, a lot of Catholics' eyes, they've failed.
Yeah, I get that. It's almost like they wouldn't want to try in case it failed, because, yeah, they would look bad.
Yep, that's exactly why they did it with a lot of the cases that Ed and Lorraine looked at. They would maybe throw them a bone and be like, oh, here's a local priest or whatever, but they would never help themselves. Oh, assholes. Geez. Yeah.
Not cool, guys.
No, and Ed and Lorraine were getting increasingly frustrated at this because they just wanted to help the poor family.
Yeah, of course.
However, they did get help from the big man himself, Robert McKenna.
Mr. Bishop McKenna, as you'll remember from our previous episode, who exorcised Mr. Bill Ramsey of his werewolf-like curse.
You're my boy!
Robert McKenna. Oh, yeah.
He, however, was not bishop at this time. He was only Father Robert McKenna.
Okay.
He didn't get his bishop stripes.
I've just kind of remembered, this is before the 80s, so this is before Bill.
Yeah, so this is before Bill. We're not doing it in chronological order, guys. Keep up.
No, just keep up. Yeah, try and keep up, at least.
Father McKenna was the first to do an exorcism in the house, my boy. The cupboards rattled, the banging on the walls erupted, and then stopped. And it seemed like things actually worked. Father McKenna helped. That was the end of it. Or was it?
Certainly not.
After Father McKenna left, he was driving home in his little car, and he just had in his head, he was like, this hasn't gone away. He knew that, you know, he thought he'd done it, and as soon as he got in the car, he could tell that that presence had just gone straight back into the house.
Jeez.
Poor wee man. There was a road trip that Jack and Janet took because they were doing an interview in New Jersey. Sorry for the accent.
New Jersey.
So they're finally going public with it and going on TV. And so on a road trip, Jack had to stop the car as he was getting kicked in the back whilst driving. So it was hitting him with such force, he was being pushed into the steering wheel, and he knew if he didn't stop, they were going to die.
Oh my God.
So even, it was like the demon knew that they were trying to make this public, get as many people involved in this case. And the demon was like, oh, fuck, nope.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. So it showed them that the hauntings weren't just in the house, but the spirits had latched themselves to the family as well. Not cool.
No.
So a couple days later, when Jack and Janet were in bed, this is when the levitating starts. Janet was levitated a couple feet off the mattress before she floated off the bed. So imagine the scene from Ghostbusters with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
I see it.
So as she realized what was happening, the demons started attacking her as well. And this was still just as intense as it had been even with the exorcism. No good.
So the exorcism did nothing.
No, well done, McKenna. Fuck.
Yeah, good one, Robert.
I'm
kidding. He's a great man.
He is. Love him. So there are so many different hauntings that took place. So this will be the last one involving Dawn and her parents, taken from an interview with Jack. So Dawn woke up at 5 one morning and went downstairs to get a glass of water. On her way down, she heard 3 loud knocks on the front door. She came upstairs to get Jack, but when he got down there, nobody was there. They both went back to bed, and then for the next 15 minutes, it really gave Janet and Jack a show. So, banging inside the closet, slamming the drawers in the triple dresser, and flipping dresser handles up and down. But then that had been pretty much standard operating procedure for the past few weeks, which was following the TV show, and it seemed to need to reestablish dominance. So it was like,
doing all I'm back. Just shaking things to be like, remember me, beach?
Yep.
Pretty much.
So I was going to go right ahead and skip into the exorcism, the last one. But do you have any more that you want to say before we get into there?
Well, maybe a few.
Okay.
Maybe a few little snippets. So there was actually a bit from Ed Warren, who apparently, so he would do loads of reports on kind of like, obviously, he said that he felt the temperature drop loads when they were in the house. Like, there was cold spots pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. He also saw a dark mass form in the house and actually moved through it at one point as well, which is hella scary. Mm. And there was a message written on the bathroom mirror that said, ooh, get out.
Oh.
Yeah. Ed walked into the bathroom and saw this, apparently.
It was actually the first trailer for the film, Get Out.
Yeah, it was.
It said, get out, and then under it said, coming soon, 2017.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's not my favourite of the dude. Shit, what's his name again? The director.
I was trying to remember it so I could say it, but I can't remember myself.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
I mean, I follow that boy on Instagram. Come on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do as well. It'll pop into our heads in a minute when we're like mid-talking about something.
It will.
Yeah, so I don't know. Weird stuff went on.
Yeah.
When they were trying to do these exorcisms. I'll let you dive back in because this is your story.
Yep. And I've got my boy. He's back again.
Mm-hmm.
Robert McKenna comes back to the fucking house. So
he's back.
This is the final exorcism that, so they had a couple others, but they just weren't taken. And then this one, it seems like from all the stuff I read, he just put a little bit more oomph into it. That's literally everything. Ooh. That I found, yeah.
Hell yeah, just a little more power, baby.
Yeah, so it's a little anticlimactic, but I think because stuff happened all the time, nothing really stood out. You know, there's so many hauntings and so many rattling and stuff that even when he's like exercising the house, all those things are just happening again. It's nothing special. You know, they're used to it.
No. Yeah, they know what's going down.
Yeah, so McKenna blessed the entire house. This time even blessing the back garden. He wasn't missing any fucking spots this time.
Mm-hmm.
Just got super soaker everywhere.
Spraying everything down with holy water. Hell yeah. He's like doing like, he's like ducking and diving, like rolling over and stuff with his water gun, like shooting the walls and that, like blessing it like crazy.
I just love the idea of like, maybe on his third exorcism, he has just like a little vial of holy water and it doesn't work. And at the end, he's like, I'll be back, and comes back with like fucking 15 super soakers. Just like,
like the biggest water gun you've ever seen in your life.
Fucking sunglasses on. Like, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm all out of bubblegum. That was a They Live reference, if you've seen that film.
Of course.
Yeah.
Not for a while, though.
Did I tell you about, I had a problem of, sorry, this is completely off tangent, but I had a problem of buying like horror t-shirts, but I hadn't seen some of the films because I was an idiot. And I went into the shop wearing a They Live t-shirt. So it was like a zombie face and it said Obey under it.
I know the one you mean.
Yep. So I went into this like corner shop and the guy there just went, They Live. And I went, yeah.
And he, yeah, they I guess they do, yeah.
He just looked at me like, oh, what a fucking poser.
Oh, no. Maybe he just really liked the brand Obey.
Well, that's why I thought. I thought it was just like a zombie face and it was taking the piss of the brand Obey. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Not realizing it was a fucking film. Oh. I've seen it now. It's fine.
Yeah, you can't really miss that, the iconic red and blue zombie face,
yeah,
with the teeth and the eyes. Like, come on, man.
It's a good film. Need to watch it again, actually. But, yeah, so he put all of his oomph, his gusto, effort into this exorcism. He's putting all in.
He'd had his Weetabix that morning.
And his Ready Breck, in fact.
His Ready Breck, sorry. Whatever.
I love Ready Breck. They knew that they needed this win, and he was putting all his effort in. So they just wanted normalcy for the first time fucking ever since they moved in. So it seemed for the first time that the demon was almost afraid to show itself, as McKenna was putting so much passion into this exorcism. It was like, oh, fuck. The next day, Janet smelt roses in the house, and she took it as a sign that it worked. So the Smurls continued to pray every day to hold back the demonic presence, just in case. It seemed to work. However, Ed and Lorraine then went forward and said, so in the book, this was written only a couple years after the incident, and they said that it never actually really went away. They were still having to deal with stuff, but it seemed that the succubus had gone, or at least the succubus was one, you know, demon that was really obvious what it was. You know, it was that horrible scaly woman. Whereas,
yeah, but like the other entities that were there, they weren't entirely sure, but they were still hanging out.
Yeah, like the black shadow thing that you were talking about. They saw that a couple weeks after the exorcism, so they were less intense than they were. And Jack saw the demonic black shadow one night whilst he was watching TV, and they sometimes heard like demonic laughing when they were in bed. But it was nothing as bad as it once was. So
that's so scary.
Yeah, they're having to deal with hearing cackling while they're sleeping, black things, black shadows. But I mean, you'd take it compared to what was happening. You would take that fucking.
I mean, sure, yeah. Like it was definitely an improvement.
Yeah, which
you know, from the white scaly women running around.
Yeah, I just find it crazy because like Ed and Lorraine probably had to go to people's houses to help with just a black shadow and demonic laughing. But then they had just left a house where that was still happening, but that was like normal. And they were just like, oh, we'll have to just leave it at that. You know, it's mental.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But they ended up moving a couple years later. So in 1988, the Smurl family ended up moving back to Wilkes-Barre where they first were. 13 years before, or where, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they lived a fairly normal life, apparently. So, Deborah Owens, who, she is new to the story, she moved into the house after the Smurls left it, and she told reporters that she never encountered anything supernatural while she was living there. Which, I find a bit strange. And
very strange.
And this is why a lot of people thought it was a hoax, that the whole thing was, you know, Ed and Lorraine, Robert Curran, Bishop McKenna, or Father McKenna, sorry, the Smurls, it all seemed to just, you know, be this big thing where they got a book written, they got that 90s movie. Yeah. They got all this fame and entertainment from what had happened, but you know, if it was real, you know, you'd fucking want all that stuff. Get some money back from your shit.
Well, 100%. If you're going to endure that all that stuff, then you might as well.
Exactly.
But the thing is, like, some of the skepticism that comes from it. So, Professor Paul Kurtz of State University, New York, at Buffalo, and then chairman of the Committee of the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, said that the Warrens weren't objective, independent, or impartial investigators, and characterized the Smurls case as a hoax, a charade, and a ghost story. So he said that the family claims they were possibly... It was possibly due to delusions and hallucinations or brain impairments. I don't understand how that could have worked, though, because, like, surely not all of them had it.
Yeah, exactly. But
obviously, Jack, he suffered a lot when he was sexually abused by the demon. But what they'd actually said... So, in an interview, Jack had told a reporter from a newspaper that he had surgery to remove water from his brain in 1983.
Oh.
Because he had been experiencing short memory loss due to a case of meningitis when he was younger. So a lot of people seem to think that maybe he had surgery on his brain, like this could have affected him. He might have been hallucinating from like the medication or the drugs that he might have been on. I don't know. Seems pretty wild thing to hallucinate, though.
Yeah, especially when, you know, Dawn was saying that she, you know, was seeing, you know, people floating about her room. Shannon was pushed downstairs. Janet was fucking lifted off the bed. Like, if it was just Jack that had written this whole book, then yeah, you'd be like, okay, there's a load of bullshit. But Janet was involved as well.
Yeah, apparently two other members of the family as well said that they saw full apparitions in the house the time that they lived there as well. So, I don't know. They can't all have been hallucinating. They can't all have been...
Yeah.
You know?
I will say the one thing that kind of sways me one way is one of the daughters not wanting to be involved in any of the sort of fame of it. Maybe that's because she knew it was all a load of bullshit and she didn't want to be involved. You never know.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Because this was what, 1973. When was Amityville? Hang on. Amityville was 1970s as well, I believe. I'll be able to find the exact date.
Yeah, I thought it was around 1973.
Yeah, so that kind of makes me think, like, oh, maybe they've just seen that. So the movie Amityville came out in 1979.
Okay, yeah.
But the cases from Amityville, wasn't that 73 as well?
Yeah, I feel like it was.
And I'm kind of thinking, like, maybe this was later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they maybe were like, oh, look how famous they got. Like, they've got all this and that. Like, maybe we should do the same. I don't know, though, like... making up that you were sexually abused by a demon's pretty fucked up, but...
Yeah, and again, it's going back to the... especially in the 70s and 80s, it was this, you know, we're a good Christian family. We don't do these sort of things. I mean, it's... Yeah, obviously, yeah. People still did. But, you know, if you're a real Catholic like they were supposed to be, do they really want to be lying about a woman mounting him and having sex? Like, that's pure, like,
yeah,
against his beliefs, you know?
You wouldn't lie about things like that for money and fame and fortune as well. Like, I'm pretty sure that goes against a lot of, you know,
yeah,
what they believe in, I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's not get into what they believe in, but...
we won't. Everyone's entitled to their own faith and their own beliefs and so on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, who knows?
We just believe in Satan.
Well, that's it. Our master. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I hope you are all spooked to the fucking core.
I know I am.
I was. I really was.
Yeah. Who knows? I think it definitely falls into that category of, like, Amityville kind of stuff. Like, was it real? Was it not? And they'll never really know, because it's not like anyone's going to come out now and be like, oh, yeah, we totally made it up.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a time to do that, it would be when both Ed and Lorraine had died.
Mm-hmm.
However, yeah, Tony Spera wants all the money in the world, so he's not going to be like, oh, yeah, my parents-in-laws, they're faking it all, because he owns the fucking museum. He didn't want anyone to know if it's real or not.
Exactly. Also, I've just realised, is he their son-in-law?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. I mean, I knew they were friends or whatever, but I didn't actually realise it was their son-in-law. Oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, their website, warrens.net, is now tonyspera.com.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
No, it's not. But like I said, he's looking after Lorraine's kittens or cats, so he's allowed to do whatever. Okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as he looks after those kitties, that's the main thing.
Exactly. Talking of looking after kitties, I want to go and look after my kitties. All right.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm gonna go look after my kitty as well. I don't have one. I actually have a hamster, but I'm gonna go see him and make sure that he's okay, because I'm worried about him.
You're scared. Was he scared of the story?
He might be. He might be. Some asshole was setting off fireworks the other night, and Daniel was like, oh, "Do hamsters get scared of fireworks?" I'm not sure. And I was like, "I did not think about that. We'll need to look that up." Apparently, if you just put loads more bedding in, they should be chill.
I am worried, because it is coming up for Guy Fawkes, and the kittens have never heard fireworks. and this is the test. But if you remember that night that I think it was you, Daniel, and Mary went for a spooky drive, and it was really bad thunder about a couple of months.
The really bad, yeah, that was the big storm, yeah, yeah.
I still remember when there was a massive, like, crash of thunder. I ran down to see if the kittens were okay, and they were literally, it was like the thunder was setting them off. They were just fighting the shit out of each other, just like ignoring the thunder. Whoa. They're just like, ah, fuck you. So I don't know, they'll be fine.
Just imagine them like in this battle, and there's like crashes of thunder in the background. It looks like a really dramatic scene, and they're like kittens the size, like literally like kittens the size of your palm, like doing nothing. Madness. Okay, well, I'll let you go see the kitties.
Yep.
And I'm going to go see my hamster.
Yeah, and I hope you're all spooked, because I
am
going to sleep with the lights on tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, usual guys, if you do have any of your own personal spooky stories, we'd love to hear them. So send them into our Instagram or Facebook, or just scream them at us in the street if you see us. Or you can go outside and use echolocation.
Yeah.
So if you just scream it really loudly into the air, you'll be able to find us, because the sound will actually bounce off of us, and we'll see you and we'll come back.
This is true. Well done.
Don't do that. But but yeah, if you could send those over, that would be great. Or email us at trickort1@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And that's about it, really.
That's it.
For part three of our October specials. So we'll be back next week with another spooky tale by the Warrens, and it's my turn, baby, so just you wait till I find some spooky story for you.
Oh shit, I'm excited. I'm very excited. Right, well,
I'll try really hard not to make it another werewolf, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But good night, okay. My spooks.
Good night, everybody. Bye 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 bye.